Good morning. This is Doug Dawson. I'm the president of CCG Consulting, but more importantly today, I'm here for NC Gigabit and NC Broadband Matters. We have a really interesting presentation for you today. As usual, North Carolina's taken a lead on another area that we want you all to know about. The industry has a gigantic shortfall of fiber technicians and broadband technicians and wireless technicians. And so today we're going to talk about some actual progress being made here in North Carolina to develop a workforce development and training program. And unfortunately, I wish that our ex-president, Gene Scott, could be here because this was his baby. He's the one that really got this ball rolling. And so we all miss him for that. And he would be the one doing most of the talking today if he was still here. But the folks here on the call have taken this ball and really made this thing work. It's up and running, and we want to take it nationwide. We have four speakers for you today. You all know Alan Fitzpatrick from Open Broadband. He's an NC Broadband Matters board member. Mark Boxer, who's from OFS, the fiber manufacturer. He's also one of our board members and also on the board of the Fiber Broadband Association. Jimmy Hendricks is here today from Wilson Greenlight. He's the guy who actually makes this work out in the field. He's the outside plant splicing supervisor. And finally, we have Deborah Kish from the Fiber Broadband Association. She's the VP of Research and Workforce Development, who's really running with this at the national level. She did want us to all know that she has two horses, two German shepherds, a whole lot of cows, chickens, and we kind of all want to be at her house today. So that's with that, I'm going to hand it off to Alan. He's been having technical issues, and you're going to hear him through a phone instead of from his computer, but hopefully you can all hear him good. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Alan.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doug. And good morning, everyone. Mark, if you want to advance the slide to my first one. Very excited to be talking about workforce development today. We've done several ISP technician training programs at Open Broadband, and I wanted to give you very specific examples today. Just prompt some thinking, and you'll see the theme that I'm going to talk about in our examples will be replicated with some of the other speakers. So first of all, maybe a little background of who Open Broadband is. We are a small ISP. We are North Carolina owned and operated. We're based in Waxhaw. If you don't know where Waxhaw is, it's on the North and South Carolina border, just outside of Charlotte. We formed our company to provide broadband in underserved areas, and we're now in three states in the southeast, as you can see there. We also do public Wi-Fi zones. We love to support entrepreneurs and co-working spaces. And what I wanted to talk about today is the last item there, workforce development and technician training programs. So the first, why workforce development and training programs? This may be an obvious question to most of you. But there are just so many job openings in the telecom industry. So they're forecasting over 20,000 openings a year throughout the decade. And the articles you see, like on the lower right there, are pretty commonplace where you see that the telecom industry needs more qualified workers. And with the Internet for All money coming down the line, there's going to be a lot of broadband projects that are going to need talent. So this is the why behind technician training being so important right now. So I'm going to give you very specific examples. The first one is a public-private partnership that our company has done with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. And this is a project called Mech Tech Connect, and it provides free public Wi-Fi in West Charlotte neighborhoods. And as part of this project, if you want to advance to the next slide, they asked us to hire five people from the local community and train them to be technicians. So above and beyond just providing the free public Wi-Fi in the community, they also wanted to do some workforce development. So the picture in the bottom right is one of our training classes that we were holding at the library. And on the left, you can see, sort of an outline of the topics that were covered. Starting from the basics of what is the Internet, what are the components of the Internet, what type of networks are there, what's an IP address, and how do you change it on your computer? How do you change it from a dynamically assigned to a static IP and those types of things, terminating Ethernet cable. And you can see in the picture that we have some hands-on experiences during this training. So going to the next slide, this is a little bit more granularity on how we broke up the training. Again, these are five residents from the community that were not telecom people. They were really, you know, taking it from the very basics into the point where they could actually do work and become technicians, start to do some of the basic functions. So we broke it down into the modules you'll see here, sort of accumulating with the bottom right with the final module being, you know, network troubleshooting. And if somebody has a trouble on the internet, how do you go about figuring out where the problem lies? And then how do you correct it? So it's everything from how does the internet work to troubleshooting. So that's what this group went through. And on the very first day, they had to prove that they could terminate an Ethernet cable. So we had a box of Cat 6 Ethernet cable. We cut off pieces, and they had to crimp connectors, and they had to understand the different wires inside the Ethernet cable and how what order they had to go into and how to crimp them. And then, as you see, Patrice on the right had to demonstrate that she had a successful connector and that there were no errors in that cable connection. So this was all like the very first day. And as you can see, there's, you know, equipment on the desk that they actually had to work with. I think you'll see some of the other presenters today with some similar types of pictures. So that was day one. And if you advance to the next slide, we then have them starting to configure equipment. So we have them configure switches and routers. And in our case, since we do a lot of fixed wireless, we introduced them to Ubiquiti and NanoBeam fixed wireless radios. So they had to log in, learn how to program them, and get them configured. If you want to advance to the next slide. So that was, you know, the classroom training. So we taught them, you know, networking from a classroom perspective. Then we had that hands-on component, like you were saying. Then we took them outside the class. And we're very active in Charlotte for supporting the City of Charlotte's Access Charlotte program, which is providing basically free internet to low-income communities. So we've done a number of projects around the city. So we took the technicians that we were training out to the field. So on the left, you can see we had an indoor application. This was a retirement-oriented, age 55 and above community, where we were doing Wi-Fi in the hallways. And the one on the right is we were putting equipment outside the buildings in another community. So the training included this outside, you know, real-world viewpoint. So this isn't just sitting in the classroom reading a book, right, or studying for your A-plus cert. This is really hands-on. So if you want to go to the next slide. More configuration. We taught the technicians how to aim equipment, how to aim radios, and how to look for signal levels and understand, you know, what is a good path, wireless path, and what isn't. And we can advance to the next one. So graduation day, at the end, everyone received a diploma. And we, oh, by the way, I should have mentioned this up front. Each of these participants was paid. So we were paying $15 an hour throughout the training program, and we hired all five of them. So at the end of the program, there wasn't a guarantee necessarily that we would, but we ended up doing that. So it was an exciting graduation day with the Charlotte Library. So advance to the next slide. So after the formal training, it didn't just end at that point. So we started to take them out to some of our tower sites, and we got them exposed to data center operation. And depending on their interest, we kind of pursued further certification classes after the initial ones. If you want to advance to the next one. More OJT training took place. So you can see some of the technicians out in the field with some of our full-time employees. And advance to the next one. Then we took several of them through some NOC training, Network Operations Center training. And then in our case, since we do a lot of fixed wireless, we introduced the students to some Ubiquiti training courses as well. So that was the first example, again, with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library. The second example is with City Startup Labs. City Startup Labs is a nonprofit based in Charlotte, and their mission is helping returning citizens get reintroduced and helping them start careers, including entrepreneurship related careers. So they had gotten a grant to do broadband training, and they worked with us to take four returning citizens. So literally on Friday, the folks that we had were in the penitentiary system. And then on Monday, they were with us learning how to become technicians. So it was a very rapid transition, a job reentry transition for them. And this, again, was a paid program. So they were paid $15 an hour to participate. And we were taking people that didn't necessarily have telecom training at all and train them to be technicians. So if you look at the next page, this is our initial crew. We took them out to the Greer Heights area of Charlotte, which is one of our Access Charlotte public Wi-Fi locations. And similar to that first example I gave you, you know, they were hands-on in the community, learning how to become technicians, learning skill. Again, they're, you know, recently re-entered into society, and giving them a paid job while they were doing this. And they're also helping their fellow residents, you know, in the community. So it's just a win-win-win across the board. If you want to advance to the next one, so a couple more pictures of hanging some equipment outside the buildings. Again, we were doing free public Wi-Fi for all residents. The third example I have for you is something that's coming up in September. We are offering a training program in conjunction with Rappahannock Community College in Southeast Virginia. This is a four-day program that we're spreading out over a couple of weekends. This is a little bit more of a formal course than the ones we were holding at the library or in Charlotte. We came up with basically the curriculum that we had created for the library. We put it in the form of the syllabus for the college. And the community college and us both promoted the program to get students. The students could attend this for free. And we're looking to get 6 to 10 students in each of the courses in September. At the end of this program, they are not being paid to take the course, but it is free to them. And at the end of this program, we are looking to hire the best students from the program. For anyone that we don't hire, what we've accomplished with any of these three programs is folks now have the ability to do some basic telecom work. And where they may not have been eligible for the telecom industry or had any, you know, background, they are now leading each of these programs with skills. They can prove that they can make cable, they can log into switches and routers, and they know the basics of troubleshooting. So that's the outcome that all of these programs achieved. But we are pleased to say that we have hired most of the people that we've put through these programs, and we're looking forward to hiring the folks from Virginia as well. So my last slide is just sort of a philosophy. You want to advance to the next one. I don't know if anyone recognizes the image in the middle of the screen, with all apologies to Pixar. This is something that we believe. This is from the movie Ratatouille, for anyone that doesn't recognize it. In the movie, they talk about how anyone can cook. But the way that we view this is, anyone can become a technician. Maybe not everyone, but anyone can become a broadband technician with the right skills, with the right training, with the right attitude, and the right opportunity. So we believe that the examples I showed you today could really be replicated anywhere. But hopefully this gives people some ideas, and I'd be happy to chat afterwards about any questions. So thank you very much.
Before we go on to Mark, this is Doug. I just want to announce, for some reason, the Q&A function is not working today. We don't know why, but if you have questions that you would like to get us to answer at the end of this presentation, just type them into the chat box, and we will be glad to, if we have time left at the end of the presentation, to answer those. So thank you.
So this is my section now. This is Debbie Kish with the Fiber Broadband Association. So I first wanted to give you an introduction of what the Fiber Broadband Association is and what we're about. We're actually 21 years old this year. We were established in 2001. We're a member-led organization, and we provide advocacy and education resources to companies that want to deploy the gold standard through fiber to the home, fiber to the business, or fiber everywhere. Like I said, we are member-based, and the mix-up of our members is largely, we're a little over 51 or 52% are service providers, so that's telecom, municipalities, anyone who is providing fiber to their community or fiber to the home. The other part is made up of vendors of telecom equipment. We also have GIS type vendors as well, installation contractors and consultants. We also have a group of public officials, you know, where these are the people who are facing the administration and government officials. We're affiliated with smaller groups that also advocate for fiber optic networks. And we could go to the next slide. So fiber is actually growing, I want to say, it says dramatically, but drastically. And right now, you know, there's been a lot of federal funding. You've heard in the news a lot of the IIJA money that is positioned to go to all broadband networks to reach rural areas and people that don't have access to internet service. You can see historically on this chart here that there have been significant investments all the way up to 2020. We've seen about $53.8 million in investments in fiber. But this year, for 2021 through 2025, we're actually looking at a much bigger investment. So we've seen ARPA funds, which is the American Rescue Plan Act, the RDOF, which is the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, and now we've seen more recently the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the BIL, and then BEAD, which is the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment. So we're going to see a significant higher investment over the next 5 years than we've ever seen in the past. So right now is the time to really start building a workforce right now, because there is a rather sizable gap in terms of how many people we have to do the infrastructure builds. As a matter of fact, and I'll be talking about this in a second, but you know, in response to our service provider members, you know, they were basically telling us that they didn't have the skilled labor workforce to do the fiber to the home installs. So they weren't meeting their goals, they weren't meeting their deadlines, people were not getting access to the internet, and they were basically turning down jobs. So that's not good. And, you know, as you can see here, you know, fiber's been around for about 35, 40 years or so. And we see a lot of people that are on the retirement path right now. So we don't have the workforce to fill in that gap to start building this large investment that we're going to see coming up in the future. So next slide. The job opportunities for technicians in fiber are vast, and I would even go to say beyond just technicians, and I'll talk about that in a second. There we have installers, splicers. You know, I like to think of fiber optic technician or the job as kind of a Montessori, because there are, you know, multiple tasks that are built into this particular occupation. So we have linemen, we have maintenance technicians, there's manufacturing, engineering, contractors, you know, the people who go out and, you know, dig the ditches and, you know, dig the handholes and things of that nature. But I would even take it a step beyond, because even though we have this skills gap right now that we're trying to fill, you know, in the telco industry, I personally have been in telco for 25 years, and the job opportunities are endless in this particular sector. You can move from being a fiber optic technician or any one of these opportunities that are listed on this particular slide. But, you know, you can move into the vendor field. You can work directly for the service provider. You can go into sales or marketing. You can be an analyst. I was an analyst for Gartner for 21 years. And there's just a multitude of opportunities for, you know, anyone that is in the telco industry. And fiber is a great place to start. So next slide. So in response to our service providers giving us, you know, what we know about the industry and how there is a skills gap right now, in response to that, the FBA developed a FBA Optic Path course. It's an optical telecom installer certification program. It's nationwide. We have a national approved apprenticeship or national registered apprenticeship with the United States Department of Labor. We are working with and speaking with community colleges and vocational schools across the nation. We've also been talking to veterans programs, government programs like Job Corps, where they have facilities across the United States. This course is really focused on hands-on skills, anything that's actually touching fiber. So it's a deeper focus than some of the existing programs that are out there right now. We start with knowledge. There's a whole focus on why fiber, all the things that I just talked about, how fiber is growing, other things like attenuation and bend radius and the history of fiber. And then we move into fiber splicers and premise technicians. It's also designed to lead to a future apprenticeship and ultimately career building. And I think I'll pass that to Mark now.
Yep. So I think from here we head over to me. I'd like to talk a little bit. And I'm Mark Boxer. I'm with OFS. My other day job is a board member of the Fiber Broadband Association, and I'm helping to lead this effort from the board of the FBA. As Deborah had mentioned, you know, we have heard from a lot of FBA members around the country, and no surprise, but it's just we need more people. And much of the training that has occurred to date has been on the job training or vendor training for people already in the industry. So there really have not been a lot of good paths to take someone from, you know, somewhere in the community and bring them, you know, and bring them into the fiber optic industry. So if you're a high school student, you haven't known that this was a career path. Existing fiber training is often expensive. And, you know, some of the existing training that's out there is great if you're already employed and you're employed in the industry. But if you're looking for a new career path, you know, it's not super clear how you ultimately make your way into the fiber optic industry. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is put together a path that will enable that. So a lot of the existing training is often relatively short. And instructors and hotels are expensive. And also the history has been people come to these courses, so they go to a certain place. And what we're trying to do with this course in partnering with service providers and community and technical colleges around the country is instead of having people needing to go to a metropolitan area, so, you know, going to Raleigh or to Charlotte, we take advantage of the nation's community college infrastructure and the fact that there are service providers all over the country deploying fiber to, instead of having people come to training in metro areas, try and bring the training to, you know, more, you know, sparser areas to be able to attract local people, you know, from the community into the industry. So, you know, also there's really not a generally recognized entry-level credential for fiber optic broadband technicians. There are some credentials that are available, but when we talk with the hiring managers of our member companies, they really don't consider those credentials to be very credible, and they don't consider them, you know, certainly to be a hiring credential. So what we are trying to do with this course and with this credential is put something together that has enough credibility, has deep enough, you know, it's actually we keep it reasonably narrow in scope, and we try and make it relatively deep, and we'll talk about that. So the intent is for it to become a trusted industry hiring credential. So detailed curriculum, and we're really trying to aim for best practices. So what that means, we have a very strong focus on safety. We have a very strong focus on craftsmanship, because both of those things are very important as we are building out networks, and we expect these networks to last for decades. As Deborah also mentioned, it's a comprehensive mix of theory and hands-on. As I mentioned in the previous slide, this course comes to students. And so since we're trying to get this out to places where it hasn't been out before, that's the reason we need to have the school and the telecom provider cooperate to put on the course. And what the FBA does is we provide the guidance, we provide the curriculum, we provide the certification. The course is also designed to be relatively inexpensive and an excellent value. So if you go out and look for fiber optic training, you can see numbers that range from anywhere from $1,000 to thousands of dollars for very short periods of time for training. And this course with the Department of Labor certification is 144 hours on the course side. If you are not looking to do the apprenticeship, then it'll come in probably in the 110 to 120. But that's considerable time and effort investment in order to get a lot of these basic skills. And so what we're trying to do is we want it to be relatively inexpensive, but we also want it to be very good value in order to attract people from outside the industry. And so ultimately, we are trying to compress the amount of time that it takes to bring qualified people into the industry. That's our final goal, or our ultimate goal really is to do that so we can keep building networks. So Doug mentioned this at the very beginning, or Doug mentioned Gene at the very beginning, and people who have attended our webinars for years, have heard from Gene throughout the years, and we wanted to again just honor Gene's memory. So Gene was the outside plant manager for Greenlight and Wilson, multi-decade career in telecom with telco, telco and municipality, and developed a fiber optic training program with Wilson Community College. So Gene was the inspiration, and he was also a guiding light for this course. So he provided guidance on the curriculum and also the hiring manager perspective. And one thing that I'd like to say is you're going to hear from Jimmy Hendricks from Greenlight in a little bit. And I would like to say that Jimmy has stepped into Gene's shoes very admirably and has done a fantastic job in helping us continue to build the course. And ultimately, Jimmy had multiple roles with the pilot program that we did in Wilson that we're going to talk about in a second. And so you'll hear from Jimmy in just a second. But the last thing about Gene, though, he was very passionate about education and training. And so want to highlight that with this curriculum, the FBA, we, as Deborah mentioned, we represent entities from around the country. We have a deployment specialist committee that is headed up by Brendan O'Boyle of Preform Line Products. And this is a group of people who are around the country focused on deployment, so building networks. And so it's a diverse set of industry influencers focused on just building fiber networks. And they have given us, they have reviewed the curriculum, and they are providing ongoing suggestions. And Brendan is a very, very integral part of our committee. So the main point about that is that we are trying to reach out to a very broad group of people to vet the program. And then we're hoping that we'll see, as these programs begin to bubble up around the country, that the optic path certification really gains a lot of legs. So fast forwarding out a few years, we're hoping that the optic path will be a very well-known credential and a trusted credential, and to bring people quickly into the industry with a high standard of performance. So just looking at the chapter list, we're actually in the process of cutting the number of topics, although we're really not cutting a lot of content. We're just combining a lot of these together. But we start out, you know, a lot of people don't know anything about telecommunications. They don't know about fiber. And as I hear people tell me all the time, it is just magic. And so what we want to do is we want to start to demagify, if that's a word, or demystify the content. So we start out with an introduction, and in the introduction, it also includes, you know, a tour of the local area. So you go out and you look at the poles and you look at what's in the ground. We go through some theory, some fiber theory, some cables. And once we start hitting the cables and the cable structures, we are starting to do a lot of hands-on stuff. And as we continue on through splicing connectors, splitters, then we're really starting to do hands-on stuff. And we are doing it again and again and again. And the skills are repetitive on top. So the course is designed to be roughly 40-60 knowledge to skills. So knowledge is, you know, you're learning something in the classroom, and then roughly 60% of this is skills-based, where you're actually, you know, just you're doing something. And both of these we consider to be very important to be an effective fiber broadband technician. So as I briefly mentioned a little bit earlier, repetition is extremely important. So critical skills are repeated throughout the curriculum. And the reason for this is, you know, it helps to build confidence, build muscle memory. And what's also important is we really hope to see people fail during this process. And by failing, you learn how to succeed. So we want to do stuff enough where you learn, you know, you tried to do it the wrong way, you learn how to do it the wrong way, then you learn how to do it the right way, and that sticks. So we really want people to have enough experience so they can, you know, do things multiple times. So we clean connectors multiple times. We strip cables multiple times. We splice and splice on connector build multiple times, test, you know, build closures. And then again, we're trying to build some memory and build some confidence. So when these people go out into the industry, that they're, you know, they've got some credibility behind them. So from here, what I'd like to do is turn it over to Jimmy for his experience with the course.
Again, this is Doug. Before Jimmy gets started here, this is Doug again. We're not able to see attendees' questions. And so I got permission from Deb Kish to give you her email address. I would give you mine. Mine's longer. She is dkish, K-I-S-H, @fiberbroadband.org. So if you email her any questions today, we will try to answer them today. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jimmy Hendricks with Greenlight. I am the OSP splicing supervisor here. I want to thank Mark and Doug for the kind words for Mr. Gene Scott. He is greatly missed, and we're doing the best we can to follow in his shoes. I don't think they can be filled, but we're going to follow his shoes and his dreams. So a little bit about Greenlight. Our success, I guess, goes back to the Wilson leaders and their vision of what they wanted for the city of Wilson, better communications, a better network. So back in 2001, they offered to buy or even partner with the local cable network, and that was quickly declined. So the leaders did put in place a plan to build their own network. And so construction started in 2007. And in June of 2008, we had turned up voice, video, and data for our customers. By September, we had over 1,000 customers. Right now, we're currently at sitting around 12,000 customers with 44 employees. We are a community-owned municipality, the first fiber-to-the-home gig symmetrical in North Carolina. So I do attribute a lot of our success to the customer service that we provide. What Mr. Gene had built, a network that would last and maintain a long time. That's a little bit about Greenlight. We do also have public Wi-Fi. We have roughly 300, 400 cameras that we support for the police station. We install the fiber to them. We maintain them. So we do a lot for the public. The benefits of this course to Greenlight, like Mark said, the FBA is trying to offer a great course with great value. And they nailed this one on the head. It was a great course at a great value. We witnessed firsthand the benefits of the Optus course. We had several employees go to the course along with the other students, everyone with a diverse background. And the feedback from everyone was unanimous. I mean, it was great. Everything they learned. We had people from the UCC or the NOC, all the way from engineering technicians from Greenlight who took this course, and they gained so much information, had a better understanding of the network, how it worked. And it's helped us tremendously in our day-to-day walk after that. We did have one student come through, Noah, a younger student. I think he was 18, 19 years old, fresh out of school. He did the course. He was great. That's Noah right there in the middle, sitting down, holding one of his enclosures. Great student. He's been working all summer at a summer camp, but I've been in contact with him all summer. And when he gets back here in the next week or so, he's actually filled out an application. So he's coming in for an interview. We really want to try to help Noah and succeed in this. And like Mark said, the need for help is just tremendous in what we're doing. We cannot find quality help, trained help in this field. And this class is absolutely worth it. Helped us out a lot with the vendor support that we had. It was very vendor neutral through the class, but the vendors that we work with are actually able to come in and share their knowledge with us. They were very passionate about it. That's a little bit about the benefits. All right, suggestions to the new course for operators. I would absolutely recommend this course for beginners and experienced techs. You can always learn something new. I would hope that the instructors are passionate about it, because you need passion to teach this stuff along with anything. Lean on your vendors, whatever, you know, suppliers you're going to be using, the material you use. And I'm sure the vendors would love to come out and teach how to, you know, use their product. I would recommend toolkits for each student if possible. It helps a lot when you can have your own tools. You keep up with them. You're not having to share stuff back and forth. It's nice to be able to have a class with a learning portion and a lab part, so you can go ahead and pre-set up your lab, have everything ready, just kind of roll right into the hands-on portion of it. An outside mock-up area would be very beneficial if you could have a few poles and have some aerial and some underground stuff. The field trip, showing the network, like Mark talked about earlier, that was tremendous, a big help for us. The beginning of the class, we took the students out, showed them a network, underground aerial, side of houses, different applications. They head in, they really didn't know what they were looking at. But by the end of the course, people were pointing stuff out. They were coming back to us through the course, you know, showing us stuff that they saw riding down the road, looking up at the lines and stuff. So I would absolutely recommend this course. So the pilot with Greenlight, this is Justin Hayden standing here to the left, holding up his enclosure happily. This is his comments he had to make about it. He said, the Fiber Broadband Association Ops course has been incredible. I feel lucky to have had the chance to meet some amazing people along the way. I have not had any hands-on experience with my fiber before this class, and now I feel confident in my skills, although more practice never hurts. He was a great example of how this course helped him. He's not in the field every day. He's in our NOC. He receives calls, helps us with outages. And just him seeing hands-on how fiber works from the head end to the hub, splitting out with splitters. I mean, it's helped us tracking down problems when we have outages and everything. So it's just absolutely amazing how it helped. In my experience, we had right after the course, we had a major outage. We had 13, 14 poles down, feeder fibers. We had a good portion of Wilson down. It was a freak storm came through. So it was a 3-day outage we were working on. Had to bring a lot of people in. And I picked Caesar strictly because he took the course. I saw what he could do in the course. He was able to come in. I could put him, he could prep cables, enclosures, splice. I didn't have to watch over him. I could spend my time doing other things. And since then, he's joined the fiber side of the team and is doing an amazing job. So the Ops course was a great investment for us. And that's it for me.
Yeah, so I am trying to get back on. I had to relocate to a different room. But just to close things out, as far as the current resources for the course consists of presentations that include over 1,000 slides with chapter reviews. There's a student kit. You can see that in the bottom or over to the right that lays out the exercises. We have train the trainer resources, a materials list, instructor skills assessment tool, calendar scheduling tool, photo and video library, and we're going to continue to build that out over, over time. We have a class planning, your training or class timing planning tool, final exam. We also have a learning management system or can work with the learning management system with the local community college, certificates, and finally a connection to, you know, to FBA vendor partners. So we're continuing to build the course out, and we're very excited about now, you know, our next step is really just to scale this thing across the country. So looking at how to start a course, you know, if you're interested in starting a course, you know, the first thing to do is develop a partnership between a college and a service provider, and certainly contact us, and we're happy to help out with that process. And then from there, you know, 3 to 6 months out, you know, you begin to order materials, you'll work with teachers and to determine the instructors. And one thing I want to highlight is we expect a lot of different instructors for this class. So, you know, the people who are out in the field and they know how to splice, you know, we want them to be splicing instructors. The people who know more about the selection of the materials, we want them, and, you know, how the network has was built out from an engineering standpoint, you know, we're going to want them to do a lot of the knowledge part. And so we've structured the class to be able to have, you know, different instructors, you know, and what we try and do is give guidance for those people who have some fiber optic background to, you know, to for them to be able to teach the course. But from here, you know, you just review the various materials. We have a monthly support call that's going on. You develop, you determine your learning management system, develop the timing, the location, and the instructor schedule. And we can give guidance on that. You know, roughly 6 to 10 weeks out, you go ahead and begin marketing. There are a few agreements to sign, and you place some purchase orders, and then you hold the classes, and then you're done. So it's a, you know, there is a path for new courses that we have laid out in a pretty decent decent way. And if you're interested in more information, then what I'd like to do is, you know, certainly recommend that you call Deborah as the, you know, the first point of contact. And from here, I think we're going to open things up for questions all the way around.
Very good. Well, I do have some questions for you all for the panel. One question is a great one. This has been a very male-centric industry over the years. What kind of opportunities are there for all these jobs for women? And what are we going to do to make sure we get them in these courses?
Oh, can I answer that quick?
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
I have been a huge advocate for, you know, getting more women involved in this class. And Alan, I was really happy to see that the pictures that you had shown had women in those roles. So that got me all jazzed up. So thank you for showing that. But so the Fiber Broadband Association has a Women in Fiber Committee, and we're going to leverage the Women in Fiber Committee, as well as, you know, reaching out to STEM programs. And, you know, I even thought to myself, it'd be great to do a fiber, if you could see her, you could be her campaign, you know, just to attract more women into this business. Like I said, I've been in telco for 25 years, and I've been dying to count more than this many on my hands in a room at any given time. So there are absolutely, you know, one thing that I like to say about the fiber optic technician position is that they would be better, strangely enough, they'd be better at it than men. You know, and I say that because we have smaller hands. This is a very tactile position, or a very tactile occupation. I mean, I even spliced fiber. I have it right here. I saved it as a memento from my class. And, you know, we also pay attention to detail. You know, I think that we're also very process driven. Most women are. And I think that, you know, this would be a great career opportunity for any woman. So, you know, and I'll stop right there. And, you know, I'm sure Alan probably has something to say too.
I have a follow-up question. How do women find out about becoming part of Women in Fiber that you mentioned?
You can get in touch with me. Just send me an email.
Very good. Anyone else? Alan, we still can't hear you.
There he is. Anyone can become a technician if given the right training and opportunity. So this is certainly something that's available to just about anyone who's looking for a career in telecom.
And a related question, what kind of range of salaries do technicians make? I mean, what kind of opportunities are we presenting to folks here? Anyone can talk about that?
I can do that. So the FBA had conducted a compensation survey for a fiber optic technician occupation as well as an outside plant engineer positions. And the fiber optic technician, my findings were, and the reason why we did this is so that we can offer to our member base, you know, kind of a baseline of where you are and, you know, where you maybe should be, because unfortunately there's a lot of poaching that happens in this industry. So the starting salary was anywhere from $55,000 up to $65,000-$70,000 for a fiber optic tech. And that certification would be important for them to have.
Very good. That's certainly a whole lot of folks could like jobs like that. Could one of you talk a little bit more, and this might be either Mark or Jimmy or someone, what does it actually cost for somebody to take this course? I mean, you'd mentioned a little bit about it, Mark, but could you be more specific?
There are different pricing levels for different entities that are involved. In general, it's going to be, it's going to be very affordable. So it is in the hundreds of dollars, not in the thousands of dollars. So, since the FBA doesn't actually, we at this point are not giving the course, so I can't really give a number for what a particular community college will charge. In Wilson, Wilson Community College charged $200 per head. That I think that was subsidized by Wilson Community College. So each community college is going to have a different number. But in general, we want this content to be out and available at a much lower price point than what we're seeing for a lot today.
Sounds good. I don't have any more questions today. Do any of you panelists want to ask each other questions? Otherwise, we'll end it here. I do want to let everyone know, if you attended today, you will get a links email to you with a recording of this. This will also be on our website for everybody to find. We apologize for the question links not working, but if you get us questions later, we'll probably answer you by email. We're glad to give you more answers to our questions. That's sort of what our NC Broadband Matters mission is to help people learn things. So we appreciate your time today. This is one of the few webinars we've ever done that went under time instead of over time. But I really thought this was great information. I did also, I'm a very terrible opening host. I did not mention that OFS and Mark's company sponsored this presentation. So thank you, Mark. Wonderful stuff. So any closing thing for any of you to say? Otherwise, we'll call an end to it.
I just want to say kudos to Alan. I mean, the programs that you're putting together, that's very inspiring.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Oh, I do have
thank
one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I do have one other thing I want to mention. I have to embarrass Jimmy one more time. Jimmy, I just wanted to highlight that we talked about Gene Scott a little bit earlier on the show. The Fiber Broadband Association put together a Gene Scott Education Award. This year was the inaugural Gene Scott Education Award, and Jimi Hendrix accepted that award this year at Fiber Connect in Nashville. On behalf of Greenlight. So, kudos to Jimmy, kudos to Greenlight for everything that you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, everybody. And we will see you. We have more webinars coming up. If you're on our mailing list, you will be notified. We have a whole lot of interesting topics coming up the next few months. So thank you much and appreciate you attending today.
Excellent. Thanks.